Jigsaw is back with his bag of party tricks for Saw 10, 19 whole years after the original movie. We've never been terribly hot in the Saw franchise, but this one got enough positive buzz that we're at least a little bit curious. Welcome everyone to Screams After Midnight. I am Peter, and joining me as always is Tim.
And I am ready to play a game.
Will it be your last game?
Hopefully.
No, it's not. Saw 11's coming out later this year.
That's true.
So, yes, welcome everyone. It's a horror movie podcast. We get together, we talk about a horror film. It's quite that simple. And today, at least for now, I'm sure there'll be some other 2023 movies that we'll go back and like do randomly when, you know, we wanted to get to Cobweb, and I'm sure we'll go back and do it at some point. But our final and our catch-up seasons, because we kind of need to start actually doing 2024 movies, which are becoming available, and we're kind of ignoring them to stick to these movies. We're wrapping up with Saw 10, or Saw X, or Sox, as I've heard some people refer it to, which we kind of put off until last, but we knew we had to get to it. You know, we went through the first 7 Saw movies in 2017 before Jigsaw came out. And then Saw 9, which was Spiral, the Book of Saw, came out during the pandemic. And then obviously that's this came out in October. So this is the 10th Saw movie. 11's on the way in October, I believe. So, yes. But anyway, we'll start spoiler-free, of course, as we always do. We'll give you warm if we get spoilers. Just before we start, though, I'll just remind you that if you're enjoying the show and you're on YouTube, please do hit the like button. Helps us out a bunch if you do, and more people will find us. And you can also get some bonuses and supporters over at Patreon. I'll tell you more about that at the end. But just to set the scene here, we weren't in love with the Saw franchise.
Being very diplomatic, yeah.
we were lukewarm on 1 and 2, and then it kind of started to nosedive, and I don't think we really had much positive things to say about 3 through 9. I think I want to say
those aren't great numbers.
No, I think I want to say it bumped up a little bit for like 5, just because at least it was like a bunch of characters in a room again. But other than that, like we had a lot of negative things to say. So color my surprise. That's not a phrase. Color me surprised, I think that's the phrase I was looking for. When I saw that this had a positive Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah.
In October, I was like, wait, what? Did the first one even get a positive score? Like a fresh score? I never actually checked, but I'm not sure if it did.
I think like when the first one came out, I think there was enough people that it had a little bit of buzz, and I remember people like talking about it, which... Yeah, I mean, at least the first one is, you know, doing something kind of original or whatever, like,
okay, just, you know, at the time. I double-checked. Is it 50%? So it is rotten.
Okay.
It's a high rotten, but it's a rotten. I agree. There was buzz in the horror field, but I think the critics weren't as enamored with it. And to be fair, I don't blame them, because we were also kind of critical of Saw and Saw 2. But I was curious. I mean, if nothing else, I'm like, okay.
This
is getting good reviews. There must be something different about it. Something must be going on. so we're going to get to it. This movie's set, I believe, between Saw 2 and 3. Which makes sense. Because if I vaguely remember correctly... Okay, as much as we're not doing spoilers for Saw 10 yet... Mm-hmm. Broadly, there might be some spoilers for Saw 1 through 9, okay? Not a lot of it's going to come up, but Jigsaw, or John Kramer, as his like real name, he died at the end of Saw 3. So this is definitely set before Saw 3.
Yeah, I was a little confused about that. So like at some point, probably halfway through the movie or so, I did a quick Google just to see when this was supposed to take place. And I think that the first result I got said it was between 1 and 2, which I, for stuff that happens in the movie, that didn't really make sense to me, but maybe I just really looked really quickly at like the first thing that popped up. So it might've not been accurate.
Sure. Well, Well, it's between 1 and 2 or 2 or 3, and I don't remember those movies well enough to like spot minor details that give it away.
Yeah, so there's one big question I have about it, which we'll have to talk about in spoilers. But yeah, I mean, other than that, though, there's not a lot. Like, if he had a gun to my head and, you know, forced me to describe like what happens in pretty much any of these movies, that's not the first one. Yeah, I probably wouldn't fare it too well. Like, I remember some minor stuff about the second after that, though.
Yeah, I just remember that in a flashback in like Saw 4 or 5, I don't know which one it was, they tried to show us John Kramer about 20, 30 years ago, and to show that he was younger, they put a backwards baseball cap on him, and that was it. That, they called it a day. He was literally doing Hello Fellow Kids in a Saw flashback. That's what I remember.
To be fair, I do enjoy that than, like, I don't know, giving us a weird CGI jigsaw or something.
True, true. Well, what's funny is that here, you know, it's been 20 years since Saw 1. It's been almost 20 years since Saw 2 and 3. And I can't really say much of this until spoilers, but I'll just say there's definitely some ages that are inconsistent now with when this is supposed to be set, and we'll talk about that. But, yeah. Honestly, I feel like most of the premise of this movie is kind of a spoiler, because it kind of it takes a good half hour doing a lot of setup for what this movie's premise is, which is why the movie's about 2 hours long, which, you know, maybe we'll be critical on, but I can't deny that this is a very, very different setup than any other Saw movie.
I mean, I guess if you want a spoiler-free synopsis, I would just say Jigsaw put some people in some traps.
That does happen. I can't deny that happens. But, I mean, the first half hour is more like a drama following John Kramer, who's dying of cancer. It's very different from a lot of the others, which is weird, because I just looked up the director before we started, Kevin Grutter. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. He directed Saw 4 and Saw 7.
Two classics.
He also directed Jackals, which we reviewed. And I will, you know what, Tim? I'll give you a cookie if you can tell me what Jackals was, because we reviewed it on the show.
I want to say it was, you're probably going to have to give me a cookie, because I'm pretty sure I know this. It was like someone was in a cult, and her family takes her to a remote cabin to deprogram her, and then the cult members try to find her.
That's more than I remember. I just remembered it was there was Mass and one of the Baldwins, or not Baldwins, what was his name? I forget his name, the actor. Stephen Dorff, that was the dude.
I want to say, yeah, it's like it ends up being like a home invasion movie with like a cult member.
Okay, so. I'm shocked you remembered that. But yeah, he did that, and that was shit too, so...
Yeah. I'm not happy I remember it.
So just to show, again, painting a picture of this. So, all right, I guess we'll get the general impressions out of the way, and then we'll start digging in. Tim, what did you think of Saw 10?
So similar to what you were saying, I was actually somewhat excited to watch this. I would go as far to say that I hate this franchise. I would say the first two are the most watchable, but I think they still have their faults. At the core, I do like the idea and the premise of, a horror guy puts these dudes in these gnarly traps. I think there's a lot of fun.
I don't remember what we said, but I'm sure we probably said that when we Saw 1, and probably Saw 2 and 3 and 4 and so on.
I like that idea. The problem is that the direction, the look of these movies, I think is so awful. And then it's so up its own arse with its continuity and its lore. And it's just so like, it takes itself so seriously and it's not fun. And I know there are people that like love this, and I don't know, I wish I could enjoy it with them, but it's just always like painful trying to watch it. But regardless, like you said, this one was getting some buzz, and there are some people I know that were saying that they actually really liked it, and some were even saying it's like the best in the franchise. So I didn't think I was going to love it, but I was at least a little hopeful that, okay, maybe this will be the one that kind of turns it around a little bit, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is dumb, but it's fun or whatever. And then, yeah, pretty quickly into the movie, I just realized that wasn't going to be the case. I guess if I want to be a little positive, I would agree that, yes, this is one of the better Saw movies. But again, I hate the Saw movies. I think they're pretty much garbage, if you will. Oh, so it's like,
been a while since you whipped that one up.
So it's like, okay, so this is like maybe a little better than the typical Saw trash. Like I guess some positives is like, you know, I do like Tobin Bell. I think, you know, he does a good job with his character. So, you know, it was fun to see him. And then there were moments that I did actually laugh at some absurd stuff, which I guess to keep it spoiler free, like there'd be times when we'd see him like having these like kind of like daydreams, or see him like sketching stuff on some pieces of paper, and like stuff like that made me laugh. Because just like having this like, you know, horror villain. But like you said, it's kind of like living this, you know, drama, which is kind of like novel and funny to me. But again, those parts were kind of few and far in between. There was like some over the topness with some of the characters and stuff. And, you know, I guess I'll give it credit where like, you know, the gore was pretty good. So, yeah, there are some positive stuff to be had. You know, I just don't want to be super negative about the whole thing. But the problems that I have with the franchise is all still very much here, you know, in this movie. I think it just, like, it just looks like shit. Like, it doesn't look like, I'm surprised this was like released theatrically, like, because it always looks like, I don't know, it should be like a straight to TBS like TV movie or something. I just don't think the quality is good, you know, that the like, shit was kind of losing my train of thought.
I don't know, to talk like, about the whole movie too. You don't have to get it all out now. You can hold something back. Yeah. It's fine.
And then we're talking about like, you know, like not knowing when it takes place, and like, you know, that there's so much continuity stuff that like, you know, I don't mind if you want to have like a bunch of lore and continuity, like that's totally fine, but it shouldn't be to the detriment of the movie. Like, I don't know. I feel like there's so much stuff that you have to remember and then be like, oh, wait, who's this person again? And all right, so what would they have been doing at this time between these movies? Like, yeah, it just takes me out of the movie. It's not like, I mean, maybe if I was a super fan of the series, that stuff would be like, you know, catnip or whatever to you. But I don't know, just as someone that doesn't really like this stuff, it just feels more like a hindrance than a plus for the movies. And and it's so long. It was almost 2 hours. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, you should have just really quickened this. And then, yeah, there's more stuff I didn't like. But, yeah, we'll get into it. So that's how I feel about it.
I mean, I guess I'm more positive than you. I'm not saying I loved it. But I do see a legitimate difference between this, especially on a script level, and most of the previous movies. It's a lot more competent as a script. Mm-hmm. Like, it sets up the character, it sets up all of the characters who are going to be involved in the game. It gives you an understanding to some extent who they all are, why they're in the game, and instead of like trying to do like lots of twists and little, because, you know, the first movie and a lot of the movies in the franchise do the thing where, oh, they're here, and we're going to get it revealed slowly that they're bad people and they've done these things, and that's why Jigsaw has targeted them. Here, it treats it very differently in a way where you kind of just understand what the motivations are before anything gets going. And it does some interesting things with that kind of throughout. I'm not saying it solves all of the problems that this franchise has, because it doesn't. But I will say, I do think the annoying direction is toned down. It wasn't as like, oh, we're going to spin around sped up like a music video, like, right, every time. Like, there's a little bit of the quick cuts and a little bit of the speed up in the trap scenes, but it's definitely toned. It's almost like they at least realized, you know what, it's not 2005 anymore. this style is more grating. We're going to rein it in. So I'll give it that. There was some moments I liked. There was some gore that I thought was ridiculously over the top that I did get some chuckles out of. Now, having said all this, I'm not saying that I thought this was a great movie. I do think it was a lot more watchable than I think almost any of the other Saw movies were. So I guess I technically agree it's maybe the best Saw movie, but that's with the caveat that the bar is pretty low. You know, like, I'm not like, I'm not standing here and defending it, but I do think there is a definitive difference between this and a lot of the other ones. Now, admittedly, when we get into spoilers, I'm going to question maybe, like, some of the ways that it does that, some of the ways that it does something different where it gives you more characters to potentially care about is certainly questionable, and something that I would compare to another movie as well, which, again, I can't talk about until spoilers. But yeah. There appears to be a child in a saw trap in your house, Tim, right now.
Yeah, yeah. We've been dealing with some bedtime stuff.
Wyatt doesn't agree with bedtime.
No, no.
Yes, well, I'll change.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I'm still pretty negative about this movie, but I mean, I do agree it is a step in the right direction. It's definitely more watchable than the other ones. There's still a lot of stuff I don't like about it. I still have problems with it, but I would give it at least that basic, you know.
I mean, I'll put it this way. I did, because it was interesting to see them do something different with Saw, which is why it surprised me. It was from a director who did like 4 and 7, two of the worst ones. This genuinely was a more interesting and therefore entertaining watch than, I would say, half the things we've done from 2023 in the last few months.
I mean, I don't want to agree with you, but
this did not bore
2023
me.
Is hard.
Yeah, this did not bore me as much as Last Voyage of the Demeter. It. What else did we do? I'm forgetting them all now. Yeah. Okay. This is. They're all gone. They've all left my brain. Oh God. Doing the best list is going to be rough.
I'll also agree with you too is, yeah, I do think they hit on something here that is a lot more entertaining, which is, you know, the idea of kind of making Jigsaw a little bit more of like,
he's the protagonist.
Instead of being like the villain, like obviously he's still doing messed up stuff,
he's a sympathetic hero in this one. It's weird.
Yeah, like you pit him against cartoonishly evil, like, you know, to the point where like what ends up kind of being the main person he's going after, and they're doing like, you know, Saturday morning like villain levels of like cartoonishly evilness. Like this is pretty entertaining. Versus, you know, like some of the early movies where it's just like, you know, I don't know, he's going after like a guy that cheats on his wife or something, like it seems like a little bit extreme, or like someone that's just addicted to drugs or something, like kind of making him the anti-hero and going up against like, yeah, legitimately like bad or evil people and kind of making you root for him.
Don't get me wrong though, there are moments where he'll criticize someone else and I'm like, okay, yeah, but you put people in traps that like make them saw off limbs and shit. Like, I don't think you've got the moral high ground here, Mr. Kramer. Yeah. I'm sorry to say. But actually, the thing I was making me think of a little bit was how Don't Breathe 2 tried to make that character like the hero of the movie.
That's a bit more tough.
But it's kind of in that ballpark, though, where this is the villain. This was the guy who was behind everything, and now he's kind of the main character. But I can't deny that it was more of an interesting watch because of that, and it was definitely slower paced, which, you know, despite the length maybe being a bit too much, and I kind of agree with that, I do think these movies need to slow down. They were too kind of hyperkinetic. I will slightly disagree with one thing you said, which is you have to kind of be aware of like and remember certain things. And I'm like, I actually think one of the strengths this movie has is that honestly, like, it's almost like it wants you to just forget the rest of them exist after like two or three, because it's like, no, this is simple. Yes, there's people that might show up that he, you know, mm-hmm. from those movies, but for the most part, it's all self-contained. Like, it's actually mm-hmm. kind of surprising how little of it even remotely implies or connects to anything in those movies. It's to the point where it's actually really hard to believe that all this happened between 2 and 3, but it is so self-contained where it's all set up and the story's wrapped up and it's all done. And nothing, it's not like he's like casually making some traps for the third movie in the background or something, you know, at one point or anything like that. So,
and I mean, well, I guess it's going to come down to a personal thing. If, you know, your mind can kind of let that go. Like, well, I mean, there's other movies where like this kind of stuff wouldn't bother me, but it was just like when I'm seeing these characters and stuff that I know, you know, from other movies, like I can't help but think about, okay, so how exactly does this fit into the timeline? And it's like, yeah, you don't need to know them to enjoy.
Yeah, but you
movie,
say that, but... Tim, but you've already admitted you don't remember any of the timelines, so how could you possibly even obsess over it?
Well, because I'm trying to figure out like when it was. Like, just because I can't remember something doesn't mean like I'm just gonna be like, oh, I can't remember it, so I'm gonna let it go. Like, no, it's bothering me because I don't remember it and I want to figure it out.
I guess I just don't care enough. I just don't care enough about.
I mean, it's a personal thing. Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely some quirks that come from how this movie's supposed to fit into two movies that were almost 20 years old. But like, I don't think that's something that really. I think one of the smartest things this movie probably did. Right. Okay. Obviously, step one, they decide to make this movie. There's obviously like a hurdle they have to just sort of accept to get over, which is, oh, it's kind of weird that we're doing this 20 years later and everyone's older and it doesn't make any sense. But whatever, we want Jigsaw back and he's been dead in the movies for like 7 movies. We just kind of have to do it this way.
I mean, they really like shot themselves in the foot with by like killing them so early on. Like,
yeah, but his whole thing was that he was dying of cancer. That was like his whole...
Right.
Character motivation.
Yeah. We'll just make him supernatural at some, like, at some point he a genie granted his wish and brought him back from the dead or something.
Honestly, the ridiculously convoluted nature of some of the like traps and plans he has, he might as well be supernatural sometimes. I'm not even necessarily meaning this movie, but there's definitely other times where like, god, the amount of like lists of things he left for other people to do after he died for Saw 4 through 8 or whatever is just absolutely absurd.
And the funny thing is though, is like, you know, we so often, like, you know, we rather enjoy like, you know, bad and cheesy movies, so like, I don't know, in another way I can see laughing at all the, you know, kind of not necessarily just this movie, but like, you know, the whole franchise, just how forced it feels, like, you know, trying to bring him stuff back, like, I don't know. I feel like that should be funnier.
Well, I think that goes back
to
what you were saying about it taking itself too seriously and like the tone of it and like the style of it. That's the things that stop. Because yeah, I can see a world where the general broad strokes of everything that's happened in all these movies remains the same, but it's more just like a, oh, this is a funny B movie that I can laugh along with and enjoy like an 80s slasher movie and just enjoy the absurd gore and traps. But it kind of gets in its own way a bit, and obviously people who love it love the convoluted like mythology and just how more weird and unbelievable it gets as those sequels go on. Do we know right now if 11 is like a sequel to this where it's still going to be set before he's dead so we can still have Jigsaw?
I mean, that's a great question. I would imagine so, because again, I just feel like he's such a driving force of the movies that they're going to want him, especially like this one seemed to do pretty well. So they're probably,
I mean, that's why we're getting 11 a year later. In this very movie, they say he's only got a few months left to live, and it's hard to believe that he's able to do everything in this movie in that span of time, never mind set up Saw 3. So you're telling me there's going to be another, like, this was like 2.1, so we're going to get 2.2 next time? How many movies are they going to squeeze into this little few-month gap?
That's a great question. There'll be a whole trilogy between, like, there'll be, like, three trilogies within the first trilogy.
It's almost like, you know, okay, you got Tobin Bell back. Why don't you just say this is like a reboot where he actually is going to just live now and just go from there? Like, if you really want to keep doing more sequels, just do that.
You know what I would do is bring in Kristen Bell, the daughter of Jigsaw.
Why does it matter if the actor's last name is the same as the character's last? It's not even like the actor's name. Oh, that is the actor's name, sorry. But, like, why does it matter that they've got the same last name? And the movie's not called Bell.
It's just great PR. You just, like, imagine, like, the poster, like, Bell versus Bell.
Wait, they're against each other now? I thought she was continuing his work. And what's her name going to be? Kristen Kramer? Maybe they can get a tie into Krispy Kreme. Yeah. Kristen Kramer goes to Krispy Kreme and traps someone with some killer donuts.
Ooh. And watch it. Or eat it, whatever it is.
Little column A, little column B. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's wild. So,
I know his name is John Kramer, but whenever anyone just says, like, Kramer, I can't help but think of Seinfeld.
True, yes. If you say Kramer, that's what I think of, but they always say John Kramer in full, so it never like goes there for me in my head.
There was like once or twice where like one of the guys was yelling Kramer, and that was making me laugh.
You're expecting just someone at the door to show up and go, yeah. Newman. Oh dear. Okay, is there anything I want to say before we go to spoilers? You know, as always with these movies, there's going to be like a reveal towards the end where the main theme kicks in, because they all have that moment ever since the first one where that Zep theme kicks in. And yeah, and you know, we'll talk about if that works or not. I mean, this definitely wasn't one of its more ridiculous twists, but probably not its best either. It's kind of somewhere in the middle, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, spoilers then. For Saw 10 or Saw X, you have been warned. We're going to get into it. So yeah, the first 25-30 minutes of this, Tim, is a drama about a dying man. And to be honest, because the way they were treating it, for a good like 15-20 minutes, I genuinely wasn't sure if he'd already been active as Jigsaw or if this is the build up until he starts being active as Jigsaw. He goes to like the retreat and she's asking him what he does, and he's like, "Oh, well, this is my profession, but I help people find a new meaning in life." And I'm like, "Oh, you have been Jigsaw. Okay, you have been putting people in traps. Saw 1 and 2 has happened already. Okay." Fair enough, because I genuinely wasn't sure, but it's a lot of like him sitting sad, piano music, all that stuff. That said, though, they do something. I'll call this smart, where they realize shit, there's not going to be any Saw action for like 40 minutes, so we're going to have him daydream about one in the first 10, just so the audience isn't bored.
I did think this was legitimately funny, just because like. Just the idea of like him like sadly going around and just like kind of like listlessly looking at people and like daydreaming, like, wish I could kill that guy. Like,
well, only people who have done something wrong, though. I mean,
of course.
Well, this is what I was thinking, is that when he has this daydream, I was like, oh, is this him just getting the ideas to do what he does? But obviously it turns out, no, he's already doing it. He's just thinking specifically what his punishment would be. It's a custodian at the hospital who's like thinking about stealing the jewelry and the watch and stuff out this like patient's drawer, because the patient's in like a cast and can't move and he's unconscious. And like we go into, you don't even notice in his head at first. You think he might just be flashing forward, but this guy's in a contraption with similar things that the patient was in, but he's got tubes going to his eyes. It's kind of what they use for the poster. But basically, the tubes in his eyes are connected to a very, very powerful vacuum cleaner, which are going to suck out his eyeballs if he doesn't press all these buttons. But each time he presses a button, his other hand, his finger gets broken. So he only gets through a couple of them before he can't do it anymore. And we do get to see his eyeballs go swoosh through the tubes and into a jar.
And I kind of wish there was more stuff like this, because I thought this was like a legitimately fun and kind of different trap. I feel like there's so many traps that are just like, a lot of times, like someone's sitting somewhere or they have to like cut something off or cut something out. And
there's a lot of that, yeah, across the board, yeah.
And they and admittedly, like, you know, you kind of said before, like there's some good gore and stuff. Like they usually look pretty good, like, to be fair, but it's just, I don't know, I just feel like there's so much like different stuff you could do. I like when it gets like a little bit more creative, like this. And then I do think it's funny that, you know, he snaps out of his daydream and you see the guy putting his watch back and you know, Jigsaw's like, you know, good choice.
You just saved your life. You don't even know it, yeah. But you just saved your life. I mean, I think
it kind of makes you wonder if he's ever been like too hasty and like, you know, grabbed someone like before they really did anything.
I mean, to me, the comical thing about all of it was, one, the idea that a regular vacuum cleaner would be powerful enough to actually suck out eyeballs, but yeah. Two, every so often while this trap was playing out, it would cut to a shot of what was effectively a Henry the Hoover just kind of like shambling from side to side because it was sucking in stuff through the tubes, and that just made me laugh. I thought that was funny. So
I do like there's like poetic justice with, like, you know, because he's like, oh, like this will solve your sticky finger situation. So it's like, oh, okay, I get it. Now he has to break his fingers, but I don't really know why. Like, where's the irony in the eyes getting sucked out?
Oh, because his eyes were, like, you know, because he was, like, eyeing things up. He was, like, seeing something he wanted to steal. Like, his eyes were too big for his stomach kind of thing.
I don't know, I guess.
The temptation. Like, I get it. I mean, like, not everything's going to link to the crime, Tim, okay? Oh, I mean, if it was just that, he could just walk in right now with a hammer and just hit him a couple times in the hand and be like, right, that's it. That's your own good. You've learned a lesson now.
And so that I really like. I like the idea of like a jigsaw that is just like, maybe he just doesn't have as much money anymore. He just kind of has to really like cut back a lot. And it's just like, all right, I'll just stab you a few times.
Actually, more on that later, but like what the first jigsaw thing he does about like half an hour later, I actually kind of like that it was a lot more like hastily put together. Like it was just duct tape and a pipe bomb. Yeah. Like it was a lot more simple because he had to like do it quickly on the spot as opposed to something he was planning for weeks. I kind of appreciated that little detail. But yeah, the first part of this movie, after like he gets the news that he's only got a few months to live, basically, is that it's about him going to like support groups, and he hears these other people's stories, which leads to him seeing one of these people from the support groups but looking better. And it turns out this guy got like this experimental fancy new treatment, right? And he gets the information from him, he looks up the website, he gets in touch, and this first half hour is about him going to Mexico, where this like kind of illegal but experimental like surgery medication, which has reportedly saved other people from terminal illnesses, he's going there, and it's all played very nice where he's taken there. I mean, it's a little bit sus the way they take him there, because they have, like, so he doesn't know how to get there. There's, like, masked men with guns sort of take him as if it's, like a kidnapping. But when he gets there, everyone's really nice. He meets multiple people. Gabrielle, who's, like, the woman's house that they're sort of hiding out in. He meets this kid. He meets all the people working there, doctor, nurses, all that stuff. And it's all about, he even sees a previous patient on his way out, sort of saying that he's happy, that it seems like his thing's gone, he had throat cancer and it's all gone now, and builds up to the surgery, and then ultimately he's told, hey, we did surgery and your head's fine, like you can go, here's some medication, you're all fine. And it's only because Jigsaw is so thrilled, right, that they've saved his life, and he wants to thank these people, specifically the woman who was running the house, Gabrielle. She offered him a drink while he was there, so he went and bought her a bottle of this local drink. I don't even remember what it was, but it was like a, I don't know, a local gin or something. He uses his skills as an engineer to work out where he was staying, because he can see this like power tower, or like this, or whatever it is, in the distance, and he's able to triangulate where the compound was, and he goes there. And when he gets there, there's like broken frames and stuff. And there's been clearly like something's went wrong here. There's been a struggle or something. And I thought where this was going is that something bad's happened to these people and he's going to like go and be Jigsaw to avenge them. Mm-hmm. What it actually is, it's a revenge story, because when he finds the little area where they were doing medical stuff on him, it turns out the footage of like his brain being cut into was actually just the tape. It wasn't real. He takes off his bandage. There's no wound. He's been conned. Mm-hmm. These people have conned Jigsaw out of 250 grand. And for a few hours, he thought he was going to live. But now he realizes he's still dying. So this movie is a revenge story. It's they pissed off Jigsaw and he's going to come for them.
Yeah, actually, it is generally a pretty good premise. I do like kind of how like convoluted it is, but also it is kind of like very cheap, where it's just like, yeah, just kind of drug him, and then when he wakes up, we'll just like play this like surgery video, so he thinks that like we're doing his head and stuff. One thing I do just want to correct you on it is because I think you said the and I was just double checking it on my phone to make sure, but I think the main woman is Cecilia, I believe, not Gabrielle.
I didn't say the main woman. No. The woman who was in the house, who was staying at, they said it was her house that they were staying at.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about like the woman in charge.
No, the woman in charge, okay, Cecilia. Okay. She's the main doctor lady. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
She's Cecilia Peterson. Which, that's a really unfortunate. Peterson? Sounds like you're saying pedo-son. Peterson.
Yeah. Actually, I have a very good friend whose last name is Peterson.
Well, pass on. I think his name sounds dodgy. Will you? Should be on a list.
There is something that's very funny about how, I don't know, bland the names are, but then I don't know, like the way they yell them, it's just like kind of funny to me. Like whoever the guy that ends up showing later is like Parker Sears or something like that.
Oh yeah, he was the previous patient that John met sort of on his way inside, yeah.
It's just like such like a dumb, boring name, but then just when they're like yelling it with like, you know, such like passionate conviction, like Parker Sears, like I don't know, that just kind of makes me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, like the first half hour does go a little slow, but when it got to this point and I realized what it was doing, where it was like, okay, not only are they doing something wrong and they've clearly conned other people out of money. Because we see how the main lady, Peterson, how she's living. She's got a really nice, fancy house with all these glass, you know, walls, you know, looking out. I mean, windows is what the... You know what I mean? It's like the entire like wall at the backyard is all glass. It's all that. So we see how much money they're making from this, right? And everyone's in on it. Everyone who was there working with her, even the cab driver was in on it, who picked him up at the airport. And I was thinking the guy from his support group must have been in on it. And they never mentioned that throughout the movie, but obviously it does come up in the mid-credit scene, if Tim watched the mid-credit scene.
I did.
Yeah. Okay, just checking. So I was like, okay, this is an interesting premise. And he goes after the cab driver because he's the one that he can find, because he knows that he picks up people at the airport. So he finds him and he gets like a makeshift trap where he's got like just duct tape around the guy's hands and he's got scalpels sticking out of the duct tape. And he's got pipe bombs sort of stapled into his skin on both arms. It's like, hey, you can't cut through the cable that I've used to cut to stick them to you, but you can cut around the flesh on the outside. And, you know, but the most important thing here, though, is that this is how he gets who everyone else is. So he's called in the cavalry, is the word I was looking for. And basically, there's like a series of scenes where we see the four individuals that he wants revenge on all being like taken in sort of from their various locations. So we get, you know, Gabriella, we find out, is someone who's addicted to drugs. She's getting stuff from Matteo, the guy who was pretending to be the doctor. He works at a vet and he gives her drugs. And we see her get nabbed in a bathroom, which she's trying to hide from suspicious footsteps. Matteo gets nabbed as well. The other woman who was pretending to be the nurse, Valentina, she's working as a prostitute at a nightclub, and she gets grabbed. And then ultimately it builds up to Peterson, because she's like the big bad and she's like in her big fancy house. I actually really liked how this scene at the end.
This was cool, yeah.
I thought the visual of like, I don't know what you call it when like Jigsaw, or in this case Amanda, are wearing like the mask or whatever. But,
like the pig mask?
Yeah, the pig mask. But she's looking at the security cameras and she can see her on the roof of her house. Mm-hmm. Just walking silently across. I actually thought that was a cool visual, and then just like the dropping the boulder and it just goes all the way through the glass into the room she's in. I thought that was neat.
I mean, as much as I don't like, you know, a lot of the like the look and the direction of this stuff, I admittedly better than the other movies, but I will admit this was actually a pretty like cool, effective looking, you know, way they shot this.
I mean, I think in general, these all stood out as being better compared to the old movies, but mm-hmm. this is the one that actually felt yeah. just flat out good, whereas the others were just right. good in mm-hmm. comparison. But I didn't feel like they weren't doing, because I remember all the old scenes where you'd get like a flashback mm-hmm. to when someone was kidnapped by Jigsaw or one of his helpers, mm-hmm. and it would always be these quick flashes and like all this erratic MTV shit. Like,
and I do just kind of like changing the locations up a bit, because I feel like so much of the franchise just takes place in like these dirty graffitied you know, abandoned warehouses and stuff, which admittedly that's kind of where we're going into, just a big empty warehouse, but like at least seeing something here like a little different, like seeing them, you know, go to these different places was a bit interesting.
And so
and I do actually like the pig mask look. I was kind of happy when I saw that coming back.
Sure.
It is so funny that like Jigsaw has like multiple like identities. Like he has like the pig man, just himself, and then like the doll. Like, all right.
Yeah. I think where I think this movie kind of like works in a way that a lot of the others didn't is that this was a lot more interesting starting off them like all waking up in the room and they're all chained to various things mm-hmm. because they've set up context for all of it. Like Jigsaw mm-hmm. is our main character, and he has a reason to want revenge, and also his idea of justice, which is, you know, giving them this lesson, which they may or may not survive from. Again, the classic complaint's always there, though, that some of them are like, okay, technically they can survive, but, like, is missing a leg or, like, brain matter really, like, much of a... like, I don't know. It feels like you're setting them up to fail, by and large.
I mean, I think I've said this before, but if I was ever in one of these traps, I would just... I just run out the clock. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I don't think I can do this to myself.
I would just try and give him my best riddle and then not give him the answer, and then he'd have to save me if he wants to ever hear. It's like, you're only going to get the answer to this if you let me live. Oh, well. But no, I think there's a lot of context going into this. So right away, just compare it to the previous movies, there was just like more of a definitive, like, okay, I understand why they're all here. I understand what his motivations are, and as a revenge movie, whether or not you think Jigsaw is like a good guy or not, right, which is definitely up for debate, at least you understand, like, in the context of this, that he is the better of the evils. That they kind of, and obviously one of the things the movie does from this point on is that Peterson, the woman, they make sure that the audience all think that she is just straight up evil, right? By the time you get to Act 3 of this movie, everyone's rooting for Jigsaw against her because she is the worst. Out of the two of them, like, by far. So, So, also, the fact that he's just standing in the room with them when they all wake up is very different, which I think is, like, the movie's way of trying to tell you this is more personal. Like, obviously, he still leaves some tape recordings and stuff, but the idea that he's even there to greet them when they wake up is like, oh, he never does that. He's always, like, behind the wall or something, or he's watching from afar, or... Okay, maybe he's pretending to be dead in the middle of the room, but he's not, like, talking to them. Whereas he's letting them all know who he is. He's making it clear, hey, you F, but the wrong serial killer. Asterix, technically, he makes them kill themselves, blah, 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 blah.
I love whenever they bring that up, like, we don't kill. Like, well, I guess on an extremely technical level, sure.
Yeah, you put a handgun in a 2-year-old's hand. You're taking the blame for anything that happens, okay?
Right.
Just the way it is. So this is obviously where it reveals that Amanda's there and she's been doing all the heavy lifting. And this is where the age problem really comes in, because Tobin Bell, obviously he's also 20 years older, but he already had gray hair. He already looked pretty old, even back in Saw One. Shawnee Smith was in her early to mid 30s when Saw was made, right? So in her like movies, which was Saw 1, 2, 3, and then she was mostly gone after that, I think. I mean, people could correct me if I'm wrong, but that was mainly the one she was in. She is now in her early to mid-50s. There is a huge difference, like, on someone's face between 33 and 53, and it's impossible not to see it. It's impossible not to look at her face and go, you're, you know, old enough to, like, whatever. She just does not look like the same character. She looks very different.
I do admire their strategy of giving her this ridiculously bad haircut to try to distract you. Like, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound like mean or talking about someone's looks, but I just thought that haircut was awful. I was like, what are they thinking?
Did she have a haircut like that in Saw 3, maybe? Is that what, is just trying to match that?
Maybe, if it's called, maybe.
I don't remember.
So here was, here was part of my big confusion, because, like I said, at some point in the movie, I was like, all right, so when the heck does this take place? And the first Google result I got said between 1 and 2, which confused me, because I was like, okay, well, I remember her character was, you know, the big character in 2, but I know that she ends up working with Jigsaw, but I mean, maybe I'm forgetting if there's like a twist at 2 that she was working with him beforehand, but
yeah, you're forgetting that, because you see her as an example of a previous victim that survived in Saw 1. In Saw 2, the big thing is that she's a previous victim, but she's in the game. And then the twist at the end is that she's been in there as his double agent the whole time. She was already working with Jigsaw since before Saw 2. So,
since before then. Okay, so this would make sense then.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I still like this between 2 and 3, but that complaint wouldn't track, because she was working with him before then. That said, though, if my theory about the haircuts being matching Saw 3 is right, then... Because I'm pretty sure in Saw 2 she still had longer hair, but whatever.
Yeah.
Not that that's important here.
No.
But it's like, yeah, you're someone who has a child who is now, like, an adult themselves, right? Mm-hmm. You're maybe not quite a grandmother yet. You can be a grandmother at 54 or whatever, but, like, you're someone whose kid is off to college by now. So that was, like, really hard to not notice every time there was a close-up of her, because it's like, yeah, I don't buy this. I don't buy this as 20 years ago.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and then to be fair, you know, not making fun of her for her age. Much better than I'll look at that age.
I am not critiquing anything about her appearance. I am simply critiquing that I can't suspend my disbelief and believe that it's 20 years ago. Like,
right, yeah.
Big difference. So, hey-ho. It is what it is. But and then they kind of try and bring on some of her character, and I only sort of remembered this in the context of when they kind of brought it up. But she felt sympathy for the girl who was addicted to drugs, because she herself, that's what she was punished for back in Saw 1, was that she was addicted to drugs. So she has like this sympathy for Gabrielle, and I'm like, okay, that's kind of coming back to me a little bit. I can kind of see what you're doing there. They've got the first, so three of them are just chained up, but Valentina, the first like player in a game, if you will, is already set up in her trap, which is... Yeah, like a razor wire is going to like pull back and cut her head off. That's like the ultimate end of it. If she can't supply bone marrow to a tube or a suction thing, right? It was like something to hoover up her bone marrow, there has to be an X amount of it that'll tip the scales and then it'll stop the trap. How will she get her bone marrow, you ask? Well, they've given her a manual razor wire to which she can cut off her own leg and then take bone marrow from her own bone. This is probably the most over-the-top one, honestly, in terms of like a gore perspective, just because there's a lot of, like, you know, obviously she hesitates, but there's a lot of her, like, sawing with this wire back and forth to get through her leg. And you do see the leg just kind of, like, pop off, and, like, you know, you see the stump.
It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah. And then, obviously, the decapitation itself, and because she basically is almost there, but just is a couple seconds too short.
See, this is the problem with everyone that's in these traps. They always spend like 2 minutes like saying, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And then like the last like, you know, minute, 30 seconds being like, no way, I'm going to do it. And then it's like, oh, there's not enough time at this point.
I mean, I agree. But as I say, I mean, I get it, though. Like, mm-hmm. Do you honestly think if you were in this situation, you'd be like, okay, pure logic, I have to start right away. So you'd be freaking out, wouldn't you?
No, I mean, I told you, I'm not doing anything. True, I'm just true, being yes. Like, all right, see ya.
I guess this is it. This is the end.
Yeah. it'll probably be at least, like, somewhat quicker to just have the thing decapitate me than, like, me sawing my own leg for 3 minutes.
That's true. Those 3 minutes before she died were super traumatic, whereas if mm-hmm. you just sort of waited and let your head get cut off, like, it would be relatively quick mm-hmm. versus all that trauma.
Yeah.
There'd be the fear of death for 3 minutes, I suppose. That's still something, but, you know.
You'd trick yourself, you know, close your eyes and, like, you know, try to think of, like, I don't know, one of your favorite, like, reruns or something, and then by the time you get to, like, the really good spot, you know, it's like, and then you're out.
One of your favorite reruns or something. That's so weird. Why not just say one of your favorite TV shows? But no, one of your favorite reruns.
Well, I don't want to, like, you know, I think it'd be too much work to try to think of a completely new episode. Just try to think of, like, an episode you've seen before that you really liked.
Yeah, but it wasn't a rerun when you watched it.
Well, yeah, but if you're playing it again in your head, it's a rerun. It's like you're watching it for the first time in your head.
Oh. You don't have to label you thinking of it as a rerun. You're just thinking of the episode.
Well, no, I meant like you're replaying it in your head. Like you're watching it from start to finish.
In 3 minutes? So is it,
yeah, well, I mean, as far as you can get.
Okay.
But, it's meant as a distraction, you know?
Okay. All right.
You're trying to focus on something else, because otherwise you just, you know, if you just close your eyes and think like, oh, when's it coming, when's it coming, when's it coming, then that's not a good way to go. But, you know, if you close your eyes and think about like, oh, like, what's that like episode of The Simpsons or Mad About You or Frasier that I really liked? And be like, okay, so it starts off with them doing this and that goes there. And by the time like you're getting really into it and like you're really focused, so you're not even thinking about the trap anymore. And that's when it happens. And then you're done.
This conversation's made me want to lunge towards the razor wire to end it quickly. I'll say that
that's
much.
That's an option, too. That's what I probably would say to him. I was like, is there a way to speed this up? I don't want to wait the whole 3 minutes.
Yeah, just like, is there any way I can like sort of make it think I'm cheating so it'll just punish me and go for it already? So Amanda and Tobin, and Kramer, right? Amanda and Kramer, or Jigsaw. They start having a chat about him dying because she doesn't want him to die, mm-hmm. right? And I do remember mm-hmm. vaguely this was a thing where she, you know, was worried about him dying and taking over mm-hmm. the family business, as it were. But as they're talking up in the control room about this, the evil lady, Peterson, has, because there's like a table, it's like a trolley in the middle of the room where all of their coats and shoes and like her mobile phone have been put, right? Which, by the way, I'm just going to say, this did not look like a modern smartphone. I'm not saying that. Mm. But it did look like a BlackBerry, and I'm not convinced that in 2005 that was already a thing. I could be wrong. Mm. I could be wrong. Maybe that was a thing in 2005, but it feels early to me.
Hmm. I did watch the BlackBerry movie, but I don't remember the exact time frame.
I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. People can chime in. But she...
Maybe it was a Game Boy.
They're trying to reach this trolley, and none of them can. It's too in the middle, it's too far away. But Evil Lady can reach the dead body of Valentina, who's just died, and she like pulls her body towards her, you know, the one-legged stump, right? And she grabs like a random bit of mirror that's like, you know, smashed, that's fallen off of a wall or something. And she starts cutting into the stomach. And like the other two, Mateo and Gabrielle, like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing? This is disgusting. What are you doing? 5 seconds, 10 seconds later, whatever it is, she pulls out the intestines, right? of Valentina and says, now we have rope. And she throws it to one of the others, and then he throws it to her. And then the idea is that they rope around the trolley so she can pull the trolley towards her using the intestines. This was comically villainous. And in this moment, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm kind of having a good time because they're doing a good job here of setting up that she is as much of a villain. Honestly, they go even further with it, obviously, as the movie goes on. She is absolutely a lunatic by the time we get to the end. But this was like, oh no, this is setting up just how like batshit she is, and that she's probably deserving of Jigsaw's wrath should it come to her. So yeah. As there's a chuckle, obviously she starts a phone call, but Amanda shows up and jolts her with the taser, and that's the end of that. But obviously this is all part of Jigsaw's plan, but I mean, probably not the intestines part. That he probably didn't specifically think she was going to do that. But the idea that she would get her phone and call someone specific so they could figure out who someone is was
part of the thing about Jigsaw is he's always 10, 15 steps ahead of everyone else.
10, 15 feet of intestines.
I mean, we'll get to it. I kind of want to complain about it, but also I do kind of like the lunacy of how this stuff works out. And it's to me, it's kind of like you did not know like that this would specifically happen. But
well, to
I guess
be
it's
fair,
also kind of funny.
To be fair, I do think some of what happens at the end is kind of a plan B, because he even says, oh, this didn't happen exactly as we thought it would, but he had a contingency in place. So, yeah. You know, we'll talk about it. After this, the guy who was the previous patient, who I thought might have been a plant, which, spoiler, later on he is, but he shows up yelling outside because he's found the place and he wants his money back. Obviously, you could question, how did he find this place? You know, we know how Jigsaw found the place, because he used his triangulation and all that. Is this guy also as smart as that? No, he just knows where this is because he's part of the whole con, but we don't know that yet. And he shows up under the pretense that he's demanded his money back because he's figured out this is a sham. And Amanda, like, you know, tases him, knocks him out. They tie him up and they show him on the monitors, hey, look, we know this is a sham. This is like, we're doing all this. Like, they're getting their comeuppance, right? And he's like, why not just kill them? He's like, oh no, we're not killing anyone today. No. They're,
we don't kill.
We don't kill. So that's just to say that he's there. We'll get back to him later, right? We can just sort of wait until everything moves forward with him. Next up is Mateo. It's supposed to be Gabrielle, but Amanda doesn't want it to be her next, so they do him instead. Which, his thing is that he's strapped to this head device, which if it shuts, it'll like sort of like burn his face alive. There's like radiator bars inside it. And what he has to do is very similar to the first one, actually, and he has to cut something out and like put enough of it on a scale effectively to get free of the trap. But in this case, he has to cut out brain matter, and he's already like, Jigsaw's already shaved a bit of his head and given him the tool to cut into it. And the sort of the way it relates to what he was doing is that he was the anesthetic doctor, right? And it's like you have to do this without anesthesia, kind of thing. That was like the whole tie back to like what his role was in the whole thing. So we get this ridiculous scene where he is cutting into his own skull, removes a disc of his skull, and then is trying to pull out a bit of brain. And I was sitting thinking, I'm like, look, there's probably parts of the brain that you could theoretically remove and it wouldn't cause a problem, right? As long as it's done safely. I'm sure there is. I'm sure doctors can tell me there's a bit here, there's a bit there, that if you lost those, not a big deal. But he's just like blindly tugging at a bit of brain. And all I could think was, even if you somehow do this, right, will you even have like the capacity to even reach for the key? If you like, once you've taken the brain matter out, I feel like you might be out of it, if not permanently damaged, because you've done this. It was gross. It was like over the top and absurd. I'll give it that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I this was another one I thought like, oh, this is like legitimately like kind of gross. Like it's making me feel icky. But again, it did kind of, like, the trap's not bad, but it did annoy me a little bit that it just felt so similar to the last one. Like,
yeah,
it's like, okay,
I agree with that. Yeah, so it is a bit too similar to the first one. Yeah.
Strapped to a chair, you gotta cut, you know, a part of your body off and put in this thing. Like, I guess, like, the end with the thing closing on his head was different, and, you know, that was kind of fun, but I don't know, like, when they mixed up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there was the guy with the pipe bombs, which was also different before.
Right. Oh, but that's true. He still has to cut something out of his body, but at least it's like, you know, he has a thing on his hand and he's up and walking around, so it's, at least a little bit different.
Yeah.
He actually reminded me of this Marvel bad guy. I think his name is Razor Fist, who just has, like, he's just, like, blades for hands.
Tim. He's called what? Wolverine.
right, of course.
So that's that. And then next up is Gabrielle, who's, I will say, this is going to sound strange, but I do think hers seems more lenient. And maybe that's because she's technically the most innocent of the bunch. But
yeah, they have, like, she's talking with Cecilia at some point, and she says, like, I think she says something along the lines of, like, I never wanted to do this, like, you dragged me into this, and she says something like, well, like, you know, someone had to supply you with the Oxycontin or something like that. So it does make it seem that, like, yeah, like, I wouldn't say she's, like, innocent, like, you know, she still seems like she was going along, like, somewhat or whatever, but yeah, it is a little bit more tragic if there's, like, yeah, this kind of backstory where, you know, she is being abused because of her addiction.
Yeah, what I mean is, though, is that, like, her escape from the trap only really necessitates breaking some bones, right, which, yeah, they can heal, and then, like, maybe you'll be... I mean, don't get me wrong, it looks painful. Basically, what he does is he's got the radiation machine that you use for cancer treatment up, like, on this, I don't know, big beam or something. I don't know, it's up in the ceiling. Yeah. And they kind of, like, strap her one hand into a shackle and then one foot into a shackle, and the one that her hand's in gets raised up, so she's sort of dangling in air, one arm, one leg kind of attached to chains, and then this radiation machine is pointing right at her, and it turns on, and it's basically cooking her, right? It's cooking her with radiation, and she all she gets is, like, it's like a crowbar to, like, just break her ankle and her foot, and her hand, sorry, to try and, like, free her hands and feet from the shackles.
Like you said, very painful, but it does seem like that would be slightly easier than doing anything that would involve, like, cutting, like, stuff off.
It feels less permanent. Don't get me wrong, like, the radiation might cause some permanent damage, sure.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But, like, if she started whacking away quick enough... well, that's the thing. Evil lady says, hey, do your foot first, because then you'll swing out of the way of the radiation. So she does. She whacks her foot repeatedly until her foot breaks. And then she pulls her foot out, and she, like, sort of swings, because now she's only on one chain. But then the radiation machine just goes and points right at her again. I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah, and that's actually something that was kind of interesting too. Like, I guess it's not completely new. Like, we've had other Saw movies where, you know, there've been multiple people, like, in traps or talking to each other, or whatever. But I think it's a little different that you have, like, they're all in the same room, so that when it's someone's turn to play the game, like, the other people can kind of shout advice or whatever, especially...
Yeah, that's a little bit different. You know,
especially with, like, Cecilia, because I'm guessing either... I'm guessing maybe because she's, like, so sadistic that she seems to know, like, the best ways to get away with, like, hurting yourself or whatever, or, like, maybe she can kind of think a little similarly to Jigsaw, that she knows, like, no, do this, and then, yeah.
I mean, it was a solid bit of advice, but Jigsaw had obviously accounted for such an event. Because I was thinking the same about that, because when she said that about the foot, I was like, yeah, but if you break your hand first, you'll fall to the floor, and you'll equally be out of the path of the radiation. So, yeah. I mean, either one would have worked. So I don't know. Plus, there's always that thing where I'm like, are you going to have the strength to do it a second time? Because once you're in that much pain,
right,
and you've suffered all this radiation, it feels like you might be a bit weak to break another limb to get out of this predicament. But
to her credit, she does it.
Yeah. And yeah, and when she does get out, like, immediately, well, this is the thing, the pipe bomb guy earlier, the taxi driver who mm-hmm. he gets the information from, he does succeed. He gets the pipe bombs off, he throws mm-hmm. them away, and he, like, ducks for cover. And Kramer just immediately walks in the room with a med kit, and he's like, okay, let's help you get patched up before you go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. He comes out of the room with Amanda, and he's like, okay, Amanda, get her to the hospital. It just so mm-hmm. happens that this is when the other guy that showed up, who they've freed from his restraints, mm-hmm. has went for his gun again and is now going to hold them at gunpoint. And it turns out that not only is he part of the con, he's romantically involved with Peterson, the evil lady.
Yeah, they are, like, a fun, villainous couple. And I do like how, like, Jigsaw and Amanda, like, they both legitimately care about saving this woman that they, you know, were pretty much just trying to kill. But, like, you know, they're so, like, you know, like, hard about their rules that they're like, no, she survived the game. She has to live. We have to get her to a hospital.
Yeah, and then evil lady just shows how evil she is by crushing her neck to kill her. It's like, whoops, I don't think she'll make it. I'm like, okay, now we get to just enjoy whatever Jigsaw does to you. Now we get to just relish in it. So one thing we didn't really mention earlier, right, and this is important for what's about to happen, is that I mentioned there was a young boy at the compound, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a scene before Jigsaw got his treatment. There was a scene with this young boy, sort of with a hammer, trying to hit his bike, his wheel. He was trying to, like, fix his wheel, and Jigsaw realized what he was doing. And it cuts to a scene where Jigsaw's got the wheel in a vice, and he fixes it for him, and notably learns how to say pull in Spanish. Like, how do you say pull? And he learns that word. And it's like, okay, fair enough. He did something nice for the kid. It's showing you Jigsaw is a nice, caring man, which is, again, kind of weird given all the stuff that he does. Mm-hmm. But he's got this weird moral code, whatever. This evil lady, when they hear this kid outside hitting the ball against the wall, mm-hmm. she decides to bring the kid inside and use him to mess with Jigsaw. And by this point, Jigsaw's been strapped to, like, the trap she was strapped to. Amanda's been strapped to one of the other restraints. And it's like, okay, there's this trap that she was meant to be a part of, which is this sort of table that's got two parts to it and two levers. And they strap up the kid and the other thing. And I thought this was genuinely an interesting predicament to put Jigsaw in, where they're forcing this on a purely innocent person. It's a child, so it is someone totally... Because as far as I can remember, Jigsaw never went after a kid. Like, he never... he never put a kid in a trap. Right?
That would be funny, just like, you know, little Billy, you stole Tommy's Power Ranger figure for that.
So... they're like, hey, are you going to explain the rules to him? And all I'm thinking, like, he doesn't speak Spanish, you dumb bitch. Like, he can't explain the rules to him, even if he wanted to. But she's like, oh, if you can't tell him the rules, then that's a bit unfair. And then she's like, hey, when I realized you were Jigsaw, I was like, oh boy. He's like, we con Jigsaw. Look at us go. She's rubbing it in his face. He's begging her not to do it because the boy's innocent. Like, if you want to kill him, fine. But, like, this is, you know, this is just evil.
Yeah. So I have a lot of questions. So first of all, I know it's probably not that big a deal, but just, like, it seems like this has kind of been going, I would imagine that this has been going on, like, all night. So I feel like it's pretty late. Like, I was thinking, like, I mean, it's got to be, like, midnight or later. So, like, why is this kid just kicking a soccer ball, like, against this, like, you know, wall, like, that late at night? I mean...
it's a fair question. I don't know. Mexico's different, Tim. Okay?
Sure. I mean, maybe they started real early and it's just going faster than I thought. So maybe it's only, like, 7 or 8 o'clock. But to me, it just felt like this is super late. But then, yeah, it's so funny that they have the upper hand. They could literally just kill them right then and there. But instead, like you said, they're so over the top evil that she's like, wait a minute, I'm going to go kill that kid in front of you, because, like, that's funnier to me.
Or more specifically, she wants to put Jigsaw in his own trap, right? Mm-hmm. Which I think is what's interesting about it, is that you've got this trap that's kind of designed for two people, where... mm-hmm. is this table that basically waterboards them with blood, but there's a lever for either person which will tip it, and when it's tipped in their direction, the other person doesn't get waterboarded. So Jigsaw This actually, I can't believe this came back as well as it did, but he says don't pull. It's the one thing you can say in Spanish is don't pull. So when the table goes up and he like pulls his lever to so that he's the one. So Jigsaw is selfishly letting himself potentially be killed here to save the kid. So if you weren't rooting for Jigsaw at this point, and the movie's working extra hard, like this woman's evil, Jigsaw's a hero, he's trying to save the kid because he will save someone who's innocent. Like they're really going out of their way to do this. And then it's almost a little touching that the kid realizes what's happening and still chooses to pull the lever his way to try and save Jigsaw. And then Jigsaw pulls the lever again, but then holds it in place so the kid can't put it back that way. And Amanda's yelling, "You're killing him! Please stop! You're killing him!" Because she really cares about Jigsaw. Like, for all this weird, warped, like moral, like center and like the ethics of all the characters involved, the movie has kind of stuck to its own logic with these characters. It's set up that she cares about him. It's set up that he has this code, that he does help innocent people. It's shown you that with two people who have survived these traps, where he's like, okay, now they're to be helped, now they need medical attention. The whole time though, when this was happening, I was thinking, but wait a minute, this trap's for two people. Who was supposed to be on the trap with her? That was like a valid question that I had in my head the whole time. And it's not until these two characters go up to the room, because they're looking for their money, because, you know, Jigsaw found the big bag of money at her place. They've got it upstairs. And the guy's like, hey, the money's up there. Let's go get the money. Because at a certain point, he's kind of grossed out by how extreme all this is. So he's like, I'm going to go and get the money. And then she follows him up.
You don't want to watch a bunch of blood being poured into a little kid's mouth?
I know. For all his faults, at least he's got that going for him. And then when they go to grab the bag of money on the wall, they pull it, a red light turns on, there's a timer behind the bag, the door locks shut, and the da-na-nan, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- triggered by them trying to take the bag of money, which is that there's actually releases on the locks that Amanda and Jigsaw know about, and as soon as this all starts happening, he just clicks a couple of things on the lock and it just opens. So does she. They get the kid, and then they look up at the room and watch as this all happens. It gets filled with gas, and he explains to them, you two have been working together to con people, now you're going to have to fight each other. They're supposed to love each other, but there's only one like hole to stick a head out so they can breathe. And they start fighting over it to the point where evil lady ends up stabbing the guy. And, you know, even though her skin's clearly badly burned by the end of this because the gas is like chewing at her. But, yeah, so I don't know. Like, as far as the convoluted, this is the big twist at the end moment goes, this is definitely not as silly as some of the ones we've had previously.
Oh, sure.
Don't get me wrong. Jigsaw had to be able to, even though it's plan B, it's the contingency, it still had to, like, he still had to, like, sort of predict so much stuff to have this kind of ready to go. But, you know,
there's part of me that's bothered by that, and part of me that's just like, I'm kind of having fun with the outlandishness of it. Like, yes, it is very over the top, and it's just kind of a trope I hate whenever there's, like, you know, the really smart guy that just always plans for everything. Like, I mean, there's definitely times when it's done very well and believable, but
he's the Batman of serial killers,
right?
He's prepared for every eventuality.
There's a lot of good instances where, you know, with like Batman stuff or something where it's like, oh, okay, I can see how he was thinking ahead. But then there's instances like this a lot of the times where it's just like, there's no way he would have known characters would have done this or that or whatever. But again, I'm kind of having fun with how over the top it is.
I think what makes it work is that, just forgetting like the logistics of the trap itself, these two characters, especially the women, have proven themselves to be so evil. And she was just like gloating that she outsmarted the famous Jigsaw. So even if you have questions about, okay, how did they plan all this? You still get some enjoyment out of the look in her face as she realizes that she's just been conned. Like, she's fallen for the trap.
Yeah, I mean, from the second where, you know, she's freed and Parker reveals himself, you're just waiting for the shoe to drop and for them to get their comeuppance. And then I do think it was actually, you know, funny when, you know, they're doing the saw thing. Where, you know, okay, the trap is set, and now we're gonna like look back at how some of the stuff happened, and whenever they would go back, and they would have the little stuff that they said to each other, like when the guy says like, "I would die for you," or whatever, or like I was like, all right, this stuff is like kind of funny.
Yeah, that was the thing. When she was revealed to be this much of a villain and she gets freed, she's like, oh, all I could think is you were making all these people kill themselves. Was it, oh, it's less people I have to split the money with.
Yeah.
Like, she's just maniacally evil. Like,
yeah. I do have another question, too. Like, again, not like a super big deal, but I was trying to think, like you said, she's like, oh, like, I outsmarted the world famous Jigsaw or John Kramer or whatever. And I was like, did people like know who John Kramer was?
Well, no,
like,
I don't think they know who John, I don't think they know John Kramer's Jigsaw. I think she knows it's John Kramer, but then she realized he is Jigsaw.
He is Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, when he started doing all the Jigsaw stuff.
Right.
I mean, she even makes fun of him and does like, you're not going to say your thing before we start the game? Do you want to play a game? You're going to say it? Like, she is mocking the shit out of him at a certain point.
Like, on the one hand, it kind of feels weird to me because I feel like, in other movies, like, characters didn't really seem to know, like, exactly who this guy is and stuff. But
if I remember correctly, in the first movie, it was like a spree that Danny Glover was like investigating, and the papers were calling them Jigsaw. So he was like a, you know, it was in the papers, but, like, Jigsaw strikes again kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, again, maybe I'm wrong. It's not like I mean, you know, don't watch these movies that often, but like, I feel like there's not a lot of instances where, like, you know, if someone was that famous, you'd think if this was happening in the real world, like, this would be someone that everyone knows about. But I don't feel like there's not a lot of instances where people wake up in the traps and they're like, oh no, it must be Jigsaw. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
No, I agree. I don't remember a lot of that. I mean, I'm sure it happened a little bit in some of those movies it must have done. But, to be fair, like, it was at least, like, even in the first movie, it was already kind of like a legend of, like, Jigsaw's doing all this shit, so
oh, enough. and probably don't want to skip over my favorite line in the movie too.
Oh, go
on. When the trap starts, I think Cecilia says something like, waterboarding but with bloodboarding. I was like, and again, she's like such an over the top villain that is just very funny the way she delivers it.
I don't know, Tim, it sounds like you had more fun than you were letting on.
I mean, if you break it down with these kind of parts, I do think the stuff we're talking about was legitimately fun, but it's also a 2-hour movie and there's a lot of stuff in between that I'm just like, all right, get to the point, and like, a lot of bullshit that comes with it.
Maybe part of it's because my expectations were so low, but I felt kind of like mildly positive about most of this. Like, nothing. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it's like, put out a classic, and now it's like, you know, like, most of the franchise is shit, but this one entry is like, you know, a must see movie or something. It's not like that.
In terms of the movie, I'm mildly negative on it, but in terms of the franchise, I'm like pretty positive about it. Like, it is a step up from pretty much most of the other movies. But
you didn't say what I thought you were going to say there, just because you're phrasing it differently, because the way you said it there made it sound like you're positive on the franchise, because I thought what you were going to say is, in terms of this movie, I'm mildly negative, but in terms of the franchise, I hate it, because you hate the franchise. But I know what you mean. You mean in the context of the rest of the franchise,
right?
I guess, like, just it was less obnoxious than most of the other movies, right? It felt like it slowed itself down, and I appreciated that. I felt like by giving John, like, a revenge element on top of everything else, and have given him, like, a villain that we can actually root against, it really did feel like, hey, people kind of want to root for the killer, and we can maybe kind of do that with him, because he's got this kind of, as vicious as he is with these traps, there is kind of like a code he has with them, which is different, because you can't really, you know, you can't make Michael Myers the protagonist of your movie, or Jason Voorhees, right? It would be very difficult anyway, and probably end up being a mess if you tried. So,
well, I agree, like, you can't make them like the outright hero, but I do think as those kind of franchises go on, you do start to like root for them in a bit where it's like, oh, like, I'm excited to see this killer and see him kill these people. I mean, but
it's a trope of slasher movies typically to have at least a few characters who are unlikable, so you can just enjoy that they die. But you're typically meant to at least want the final girl to survive and maybe a few mm-hmm. other characters. So, whereas this is a little bit different, where the further we get into it, like, I mean, I'll give it this. I can't think of another horror movie where the main character is technically the killer and one of his motivations in the final act of the movie to beat his antagonist is that the antagonist murdered one of his victims who he wanted to save because she survived. Like, you know, like, think of how complex that is. He put this girl in this trap, she survived, and now he wants revenge on behalf of her for being killed by someone else. That's actually kind of fascinating as a, like, a character, if you really like want to play with it. I mean, I'm not saying this movie goes that above and beyond with it, because it doesn't, but it is surprisingly competent. Like, compared to the rest of this franchise, this is a surprisingly competent movie. So yeah, basically, I kept expecting the cop to show up that works with him, right? Obviously, he called him earlier on because he's like, hey, detective, look into some stuff for me. But you don't see him. I kept thinking that's how they're going to get out of this. He's going to show up and shoot the bad guys or whatever. It never happened. But at the end of the movie, basically, John, Amanda, and the kid just walk off, and then the screen fades to white, and the big Saw 10 title comes up, which again felt really weird and tonally different to the rest of the franchise. But there is a mid-credit scene where we appear to be back.
Forget, too, that they also gave, like, I don't know if it's all of it or just a lot of it, but they give a bunch of money to the kid.
Yes, they give him a big bag of money. And
sorry you got bloodboarded, but here you go.
Yeah, Jigsaw puts his arm around him and says, you're a fighter, you're a soldier, or something like that. Yeah. But mid-credit scene, we appear to
be... And you know what? They can actually, if they ever... go back to the present day if they need, like, a new Jigsaw.
Oh, the kids.
Who knows?
Well, he'd be, like, 25 now, so...
Yeah.
Why not? So, anyway, mid-credit scene. We seem to be back in the bathroom of the first movie because the lights turn on in the same way. And it's actually the guy from his support group who sort of, like, gave him the first seed to, like, go down this path. Clearly, that's, like, the part of this whole con group's plan, is that they plant someone in their circle that can, like, say, hey, I got better, and it's kind of the start of the con job. This guy's strapped up and Jigsaw is, like, standing next to him, and then the detective from, like, Saw 3, 4, 5, some, you know, those movies roughly, he's there, and he's like, you con? The man you con turned out to be Jigsaw? That's bad luck. So we don't really...
He says, like, that's epic bad luck or something.
Yeah, that guy was never the best actor. Let's be honest. But we never really quite see what the trap does. It's got, like, spidery legs. It's like it's a contraption.
It's
got,
like, it's tickling him.
Yeah, but presumably it's going to cut into him. But yeah, so it's just the mid-credit scene is basically just saying, no, we didn't forget about him. The guy that started all this, he gets his comeuppance too. So very good, I guess. It's a decent movie. I'll recommend it over Dark Harvest. I'll recommend it over Last Voyage of Demeter. I'll recommend it over, I don't remember any other shit movies we did in the last few months. But
It wasn't a great year.
It wasn't a great year. Yeah, like, the bar is certainly lower. And maybe the expectations being so low obviously helps it, because, I mean, yeah, the expectations were absurdly low.
I mean, I can't think of many, franchises that, the 10th entry is, like, the best one. I mean, we both like Jason X quite a bit, but, yeah, I wouldn't say that is the best Friday the 13th. But
no. I mean, I like Jason X more than this, though, but, that's...
Oh, sure, yeah.
Very different strengths, shall we say. I mean, the 10th Halloween is the second Rob Zombie movie. That's definitely not the best one.
I couldn't even tell you what happened in the 10th Children of the Corn.
I've not seen them. We have to do them still on the show, so I've not seen most of the sequels. 10th Hellraiser?
Which one was the 10th one?
Was that the new one, or was that the 11th?
I don't remember.
I actually don't know. I think the new one might have been 10th.
Yeah.
Which was... I mean, they're all shit anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
I mean,
it was bad. Well,
I mean, I didn't like the newest Hellraiser, but I mean, I would say it was a lot better than most of the, you know, straight to DVD sequels, but I mean, nowhere near as good as the, like, originals.
I mean, we're talking about Saw franchise setting a low bar. Those Hellraiser sequels were set at an even lower bar.
Right.
Like, I would say even the worst Saw movie is better than, like, Hellraiser, like, pick one between 5 and 10.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, that's a rough time.
I can't really think of many other franchises that got that far. Texas Chainsaw, has that had 10?
Nah, not quite. No, I guess maybe 8.
Okay.
Sounds right. Yeah, I think 2013 was the 8th one. I could be wrong, but I think it was the 8th. So yeah, we'll get there. Like, you know. Yeah. But yeah. All right. Well, I guess we're at the ratings then. What were you rating Saw 10, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I legitimately wish that I did like it more. I mean, again, in context of the franchise, like this a lot more. Than most of the other movies. Like we said, it does something interesting where it's bringing in, people that are, easily hated and despicable, and it's fun to, see Jigsaw go up against them. One thing I think I've complained about, with the past movies is just how dreadfully serious it is. And one thing I would like these movies to do is to just embrace, like, the goofiness and the stupidness more.
If nothing else, the half hour at the start where it's this old man dying of cancer and looking for a miracle cures, it's hardly adding to the fun vibe of the whole experience.
And I mean, maybe some people like that it is, like, very serious and gritty or whatever, which is fine. But I just, since I think the movie's already kind of stupid anyway, I think I would enjoy them more if they embrace that quality about them and, it weren't trying to be so serious. But I mean, with that being said, though, I think there were actually some legitimate moments where I laughed in this movie, which I don't think I've done in many of the previous ones. And again, like, some of the traps were fun and some of the gore was all right. So it's definitely not the worst watch, and it is, like, better, if not the best, of the franchise, but there's still just a lot of stuff that's not doing it for me. I definitely think it was too long. I didn't think it, just, like, cinematography-wise, like, I didn't think it looked great, and then, like you said, like, there's some style stuff, like, they're not doing as much as, like, the kind of, like, shaky, like, turn around real fast stuff that, they do earlier in the franchise, but, I still just don't think it looks great, and, but, I mean, there's enough fun to be had that it's not, like, the worst watch, but I still just wasn't blown away, so I think I'm gonna give it a 4, which is probably a lot better. I mean, I don't remember other scores I gave for the other movies, but it would definitely probably put this, like, pretty high in terms of the franchise, if not, the highest. It's an improvement, but it's still not quite there for me. It doesn't make me super excited for Saw 11, but it doesn't make me completely, dread its anticipation. Who knows, maybe this one's a little better, maybe the next one will be a little better, and maybe we'll get to a place where I can be at peace with the franchise, but step in the right direction, but I still don't seem to be totally on board as some other people have gotten with this one.
For the record, you rated 1 a 5.5, you rated 2 a 5, and you rated 7 a 4, which you've tied this with. The rest of them are underneath a 4. So that's where you are.
I mean, I don't even remember what happened in 7. I would have to probably watch them all again to really compare.
Which,
and then
it's not going to happen, let's be honest. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think obviously the raw concept of Saw... Mm-hmm. is probably more executed in 1 and 2, but I think objectively this one does more better character stuff and actually like the idea that like Jigsaw's challenged in the way that he is by the end of the movie, even if he's got a secret plan the whole time to kind of win anyway, is at least narratively kind of interesting. It didn't annoy me as much. It maybe is a bit too long, but I do think at least some of that time is spent setting up character, which is good. Some of the gore was good. So yeah, like I think there's enough here for me to say this is okay. And okay means a 6 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
So I do think 4 is a bit harsh on this one. But it's, you know, like I'm not saying it's a good movie, because that would be more of a 7, but I think it's okay. I think there's enough things that I wouldn't say it's on the bad side of the scale. So there you go. It's tied for second, based on our average ratings, tied with Saw 2. Saw 1 got a 5.25 because you rated it 5.5. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to rewatch, I don't know if I would go up and down. If I was forced to watch any of the movies again, like probably 1, 2, and this one would probably be the ones I would most want to watch.
Well, technically that would be the continuity as well, because this is set after 2, so you'd technically be going in order of events.
I'm kind of curious which one 7 was that I seem to enjoy it slightly more than the other ones. Was that the one, like, one where he's going after, wasn't there one where he's going after like insurance people or something?
That doesn't even sound familiar, so I don't know.
I'm trying to think if it was like a bunch of insurance people or if there's just like one crooked insurance guy, but I feel like there's one where like Jigsaw was going after the healthcare system that maybe I was kind of like, hell yeah, but I don't fully remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But hey ho, that's Saw 10, everyone.
I mean, I'm not crazy about it, but your score might put in the eligibility for the best of 2023. Actually, we'll have to find out.
It may actually. 2023 was not a good year. In fact, our next episode will be our attempt at doing a best of 2023 list. Normally it's a top 10. I genuinely don't think it's going to be a top 10 this time. I think it's going to be a top 5. Because I think if we had to put in 10, I think we'd be straight up putting up... I think number 10 and 9 would be movies we just don't like. But they're just not quite as hated as the other stuff that we watched. And I think that's a problem. I don't think there's a point in doing that. I think you cut it off before you get to bad movies. Because otherwise... Mm-hmm. I mean, you're still ranking stuff, I suppose. But they're not in the best of the year. You know, it's a rough go. So
you don't want to do a top 7?
I don't know. No. So it'll probably be a top 5. As per usual with these over the last couple of years, we'll have the regular episode where we present the list that we've made together, but patrons will get an even more bonus where they'll see us actually make the list. So that'll be one of the perks on Patreon in the next couple of weeks. But that's what's coming next on the show. But let us know what you thought of Saw 10 in the comments below. Like, subscribe, all the usual things. Ding the bell for notifications. All these things do help. And as I said at the start, you can get bonus stuff over at Patreon. Even more screams at the $5 tier and up. We do a couple of segments of that a month where we'll just, you know, we'll maybe rank something or we'll have a news topic we want to talk about, or we'll talk about some trailers, whatever it may be. All patrons, though, get the bonus episode, which happens once a month. Every month there's a week where the episode is exclusive to our patrons and YouTube members. And the last one we did of those was Rabid Grannies, which was a hoot. So tends to be weirder, more B-movie stuff that we'll throw in there. As for the plan going forward on the show, we have a vote winner after the top 5, but then after that, we'll be kind of focusing on 2024 movies, and we'll be trying to sprinkle in some sequels to stuff that we've been working on for, at this point, a few years, actually. the 2024 movies, surprisingly, are already starting to pile up. We're only in March, so that'll be fun. So Thank you very much for joining us. We always appreciate it. Keep watching scary movies, and we will see you next time.